When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Welcome to episode 22 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Steve Jim and Mike, and joining me is Sketch 1984. Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm just about back to healthy.
Yay. That's good. And today we're going to be talking about one of Sketch's favorite cartoons ever.
Oh, yes, it is.
The very unspectacular Spider-Man.
Lies! It is the most spectacular of Spider-Men.
Oh boy. to set the stage, Spectacular Spider-Man was an American animated-based series, superhero by Marvel Comics and developed for television by Greg Wiseman and Victor Cook. In terms of tone and style, the series is based primarily on the original stories by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, with a similar balance of action, drama, and comedy, as well as high school setting. However, it also tends to utilize material from all eras of the comics run and of other sources, such as the film series and the Ultimate Spider-Man comics. The Spectacular Spider-Man premiered on March 8th, 2008, during the Kids WB programming block of the CW. Holy shit, I completely forgot. This is not a Cartoon Network run show.
Oh, it should have been.
Hey, it would have been canceled after one season if it was, so be happy.
That's not necessarily.
And received critical acclaim. The series aired its second season on Marvel's sister network, Disney XD, in the United States, and ended its run on November 18th, 2009. Also receiving positive critical attention, although a third season was planned, the series was canceled before production could begin.
So sad.
This episode of Tooncast Beyond is pretty much going to be a sketch show, because
it's the sketch show starring Sketch, written by Sketch.
That's right.
Directed well, not by me. Who wrote this script?
I don't. Yeah, exactly. Copied from Wikipedia. No, but I have seen like maybe six episodes or less of Spectacular Spider-Man. Why don't you give people the highlights, just like briefly synopsize season one and season two? So what, like when we start out, what kind of Spider-Man show is this?
We start out with Spider-Man going back to school after the summer, which he got his powers in. Mm-hmm. They don't really talk about his origin until later on in the first season, because, you know, they assume, or at least not necessarily assume that people know it. They just think it's more important to get things rolling.
Right.
So you have Peter Parker in high school, I believe it's his junior year, and he's with Harry Osborn and Gwen Stacy, and, you know, Flash Thompson and the usual people and his crew. He's living with Aunt May, and he's trying to get a job at the Bugle with his Spider-Man pictures, because Aunt May needs help with money. So
Aunt May always needs help with money.
Yeah.
Now, let me stop just for a second, just because the episodes that I've seen of this, Aunt May is slightly younger than she's normally portrayed, isn't she?
You know, she seems a bit younger because she's into cooking and doing some stuff. Actually, not quite as young as the interpretation in Ultimate Spider-Man, but I suppose maybe some attributes came from that. Right. So Spider-Man's in high school, and the criminal empires are getting fed up with Spider-Man putting the hurt on their goons. In the very first episode, he takes down Flint Marco and I can't remember the name of the guy who becomes the Rhino.
The Rhino. I mean, we really need to know what Rhino's name is. I mean, he's the Rhino in everything, so.
That's a good point. All right, so the big man of crime wants somebody to stop Spider-Man. So first he hires some particularly good thugs called the Enforcers. And they don't get the job done. So he decides to enlist the help of Norman Osborn in getting some super criminals.
Is there mutagen involved in this?
Huh?
Is there mutagen involved in this? Sorry, bad turtle joke. Bad turtle joke.
There is some mutagen at points, actually.
Oh, God, I called it. Holy shit.
Well, most of the genetic freaks come about through, as like the movie, genetic manipulation as opposed to radioactive waste.
Cool.
So like the movie, Spider-Man gets his powers from the genetically altered spider. And he ends up working with Dr. Connors as a intern with Gwen Stacy and Eddie Brock, who in this interpretation is both a jock and a brain. I guess they wanted the best of both worlds on that one.
Wait a second. You just said Eddie Brock is a jock and a brain?
Yes. Apparently he had a good career as a football player in high school, and then when he got into college, he became strictly a brain, which he explains to people at some point.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's a smart guy, at least initially. And in this story, he and Peter are old dear friends. Kind of like the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah. So, Norman Osborn has hired Dr. Otto Octavius to do various experiments to come up with supervillains. And that's how we get the Sandman and Rhino. Yeah, I guess it was just Sandman and Rhino that he comes up with. Other various experiments and mis-experiments cause Electro. And in this series, Electro is just like a college student who knew Eddie Brock, and he was at Dr. Connors' lab helping with some repairs, and he gets attacked by like electric eels that have been supercharged and genetically altered.
Yeah.
That's how he gets his powers. And then the electricity that he causes does the formula that Kirk Connors has been using on his arm and electrifies it and makes it more potent, which causes him to turn into the Lizard. So you find that like everything is connected in some manner.
Wow.
Like glider technology that would eventually become the Green Goblins was designed by Adrian Toomes, the Vulture. Who,
yes,
in like the first episode, attacks Osborn, saying, "Hey, this is just the most ridiculous thing for a villain to do." Is, "All right, Osborn, now that I've got you hanging in my clutches, well over the city, what I want from you is an apology." You want an apology, really? Yes, an apology, a public apology. Oh boy.
Oh my god.
But a lot of the villains are actually very threatening. Very, very threatening. And there's this whole overarching, the big man of crime, who's actually, he's Tombstone. And he goes by different personas, as he is both like a businessman in the world, and also an evil underground bad guy type fellow.
Who the hell is Stan Carter?
Stan Carter?
Mm-hmm.
Stan Carter?
Ooh. Yes. Oh, never, he's a policeman. I'm sorry. I'm listening to what you're telling me, but I'm just my brain is breaking as all this information is flowing into it, and I'm looking at the voice cast, and a name popped up to me, and it's like, hey, Biff's in this series because Thomas F. Wilson voices one of the police officers. sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Very impressive cast.
Yes.
So you see, you have various factions competing for control of New York City, including the Big Man, eventually the Green Goblin, what have you, mm-hmm. and various experiments and accidents cause Dr. Octopus and various other villains. And Shocker shows up as one of the enforcers becomes Shocker when he's given the opportunity to take down Spider-Man for getting his butt kicked so many times.
Mm.
And other villains vaguely show up in the first season. You have Quentin Beck and Phineas Mason show up as Chameleon's associates. And Chameleon only shows up for like one episode when he's impersonating Spider-Man. Mm. All right. So, various things lead up to the Green Goblin showing up. And it's all a big who's the Green Goblin thing going on in the first season.
Yeah.
And the Green Goblin is the guy who actually caused Dr. Octavius' experiment to go wrong, making him Dr. Octopus. So, once again, everything is connected.
So far from what you've told me and from what I've read about this series, it's essentially, hey, let's extend Spider-Man 1 and 2 into an animated series and make the continuity all connect and convoluted and fucked up. Because this connects to this, this connects to that. Because this guy did this, this guy does that. And then at the end of the series, because this cartoon is over and only got two seasons, at the end of the series, spoilers, who have, for those of you who have not seen it, so fast forward about 5 or so seconds, the series ends with Norman dead and Harry swearing revenge. Seriously?
Yeah.
God. All right.
You know,
I know you love this series, but when you first saw it, give the listeners your first impressions when you first saw the first episode.
Okay. When I first saw the first episode, I tried to keep an open mind because the initial artwork was it's very cartoony, which
yes.
allows it to do squash and stretch style animation, and it had very good fluidity for animation. Yeah. So I liked that feature, but at the same time, it took a while for me to wrap my head around the look of the series, which was very, very cartoony compared to other interpretations of Spider-Man and other superhero cartoons at the time.
Yeah.
The first couple of episodes were entertaining, but not really that engaging.
Right.
It wasn't until a couple more episodes in when things started to piece together and Peter's life became way more hectic and entertaining that the whole series started to form into this linear, exciting story that has little bits of pieces of future stories strewn throughout it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit difficult to get into if you're, from the visual perspective. I've seen lots of people say, I can't stand this show because of how it looks. I think that's a stupid argument, but it's valid. Some people just can't get past looks. But if you look beyond that, you'll see that this is actually a very well-written, very well-acted, honestly, sometimes quite hilarious from Josh Keaton's Spider-Man and his quips.
There's only been one or two cartoons that I have faulted writing or voice acting. I never say I hate this cartoon because of who's voicing which character or because of what story is being told. I look at it as, hey, this is a new interpretation of the character. This is a new voice for the character. If I like the voice, I like the voice. If I don't like the voice, I don't like the voice. But I don't outright condemn it for the acting and whatever story it's telling. However, I will say I am one of those people. When I first saw this, I'm like, I just can't get past the animation style. Now, if at some point, and again, probably never happen, this ever actually gets a real DVD set, like an entire season set or series set. Well, wait, did it get a series set?
It got a season one set.
And yeah.
The rights issues got convoluted by the time that they were thinking about doing a season two set. So season two set didn't happen. There's people who hold out a little hope with the new Spider-Man movie coming out this year that they'll be like, hey, we can release that second season set now.
They won't do it simply because of Ultimate right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it depends, because the problem is Sony has all the rights for this one other than Marvel's rights.
Right.
So that's the reason why Disney is giving it the cold shoulder so much.
Yeah. Oh,
and if Disney has any say in it, they won't release it. If it's not up to Disney, then Sony will definitely release it.
Well, yeah, how many episodes were in the first season?
13. It was 2 13 episode seasons.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking
at the first 13 for like $10 at Walmart.
Yeah, I'm looking at iTunes here, and it lists episode. You can only buy them by episode because it only has episode 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. It's missing episode 2 for some reason.
Odd.
That's very odd.
This is the kind of show that you can't be missing an episode.
yeah, and my first impressions when I tried to watch episodes was like, yeah, I just can't get past the animation style. And that's really all that I judged it on. I wasn't judging it for what's, you know, the stories sound like they're really good, entertaining stories. So I can't just judge it on that, you know, alone. I don't know.
All right. Let me talk about the tail end of season one and then just kind of a brief on season two.
Okay.
So season one introduces a lot of characters, enough to have the Sinister Six or Insidious Six or whatever it is.
Yes.
They show up when Spider-Man has acquired the alien costume, and he puts the hurt on them while he's wearing the alien costume, and he's not even aware of it because he's typically asleep.
Oh, God.
That's ridiculous. And in the first episode, when he gets the costume, Black Cat arrives, and she's trying to steal the alien artifact from Dr. Connors' lab, which is a convenient place for it to be. And that's where it begins, the playful relationship of Spider-Man and Black Cat. So now he's got, like, four girls that he's into.
Oh, my God.
It's just kind of ridiculous. And he gets to the black costume, and always he thinks, oh, this is super great. It, like, makes me more powerful. And then eventually he realizes it's a very bad thing. And that's when they finally give you the backstory for Spider-Man with the death of Uncle Ben and all of that. And in a really brilliant move, they have Ed Asner voice Uncle Ben.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's weird, yet it's fitting. for the guy who played Jameson. The guy's been in, like, every Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah.
But he played Jameson, and in this one he's playing Uncle Ben, the most important man in Peter Parker's life.
At least Ed Asner wasn't playing Aunt May, like he played Granny Goodness.
Oh, gosh, that would be hilarious and disturbing. So yes. Spider-Man breaks out of the alien costume through the will. This is where maybe friendship saved the day.
No, I think friendship saved the day with the Green Goblin, wasn't it? It was like, let's just be friends, Harry. I don't know. I forget.
Not really.
I don't know.
He doesn't even realize that it's actually Harry until he takes down the Green Goblin and I guess this is a spoiler, but whatever, the show's been over. he takes down the Green Goblin, and Harry is the one in the costume with a limp, and he saw the Green Goblin walk away with a limp, but that was all just a giant ruse, because eventually, sure enough, Osborn is the Green Goblin. Everybody knows Osborn's going to be the Green Goblin, but it's interesting how they try to mislead you. Even up to the very last episode of season 2, they try to, like, pin it off on some other guy.
I don't care what anyone says.
Greg Wiseman.
Yeah, I don't care what anyone says. The best Harry Osborn as Green Goblin was Spidey 3. I thought that was really cool. But anyway, back to
Harry as Green Goblin in this, other than the time that Norman put the costume on his son and made him limp. If you get what I mean, he, like, broke his leg.
Gosh.
What? Father of the year. And then when Spider-Man says, "You did that to your own son," he's like, "I did it to protect him. Who would have made him a man if I went off to jail?" I was like, "Really, Norman? Really? That's what you're saying? Really? Really? Come on, Norman." That's the thing that, the only thing that bothers me about Harry being all mad at Spider-Man at the end of this is he saw what an ass his dad was. In the movie, he doesn't know. So,
yeah.
Once he knew in the movie, then he became a good guy.
Yeah.
In this show, they just kind of that it had a weak ending. I'll say that. It had a weak ending. They really wanted a third season, you could tell. It had a satisfying ending. A lot of things were taken care of, but it kind of had a weak ending. Mm-hmm. Anyway, after Spider-Man gets the costume off, we have Eddie Brock, who's been slowly but surely not so trusting of Pete lately, realizes, oh crap, he's Spider-Man. No wonder all this stuff happened, and that makes him just mad enough. And then he's Venom, and he tries to ruin Spider-Man's life. Spider-Man takes down Venom in the season finale, and he gives it. No, Gwen Stacy walks up to him and gives him a kiss, and that's how the first season ends. And you're thinking, oh, Pete and Gwen are finally gonna get it on, despite, you know, a little bit of attraction to Mary Jane, a little bit of attraction to Liz Allen, for whatever reason, thinks that Pete needs to be her boyfriend because Liz Allen gets what she wants. Oh. And the second season opens up, and Pete is just juggling these feelings, and the master planner, who is actually Dr. Octopus, which should also be pretty obvious, I believe that's how it is in the comics, breaks out a bunch of other supervillains after he tangles with Mysterio, who showed up in the first season out of costume, and he's all indignant when Spider-Man takes him down. He's like, oh, now surely you remember who I am. No, not really. I was the waiter on the boat. Oh, okay, whatever you say, buddy. So he gives Mysterio a hard time. And all of his is like, you know, magic tricks, as per usual, special effects. And he has these little bat-like minions, and I could immediately tell that one of them was voiced by Stephen Bloom.
Yeah.
Because anytime Stephen Bloom does a high squeaky voice, as I always know, it's him.
Yep. Oh, boy.
And Chris the Hunter shows up, because the Master's Planner sent him this description of Spider-Man is like, this is a worthy prey. You should totally go after him. So Kraven shows up and fights Spider-Man like once or twice, and he loses. So he's mad, and he brings his lion. Well, it's not really his lion. He says nobody owns the lion because he's Kraven. He's like that. Hey, Kraven eventually ends up at Dr. Miles Warren's lab. Dr. Miles Warren, who was another famous character, I believe he was the Jackal eventually. He never becomes the Jackal in this series. Probably would have been in season 3. And he's working at Dr. Connor's lab where he saw the research for the lizard DNA. And he's decided he wants to apply it to mammalian DNA. And this is maybe a curious misstep for this show. They made Kraven a genetic freak.
Throughout this whole thing, I'm thinking this show's story is so convoluted. Oh, God.
Honestly, it does get a little convoluted. I will get...
Yes, it does. Let's talk about the cast. Let's talk about the who's who.
Wait, I'm almost done. So Spider-Man takes on the Sinister Six again, slightly different team, and then the Master Planner has a scheme. He has a master plan, of course. And then there's this gang war, and they're cramming a lot of stuff in here. This is gang war, and then Shocker comes back, and the other enforcers get super suits to fight Spider-Man in one episode. And then, honestly, the most unnecessary thing in the second season is they introduce Molten Man as Liz Allen's brother, Mark Allen.
Yeah.
And he gets his powers like 3 episodes away from the finale just so he can... I don't know why they even included it. It was dumb.
Like I said before, the season ends with the apparent death of Norman.
And, yeah.
You know, Harry being like, oh, you killed my father. I fucking hate you. But in the end, it was revealed that Norman actually survived and was leaving the country. Oh, God. How is that a cliffhanger if they wanted to get a third season? No wonder they didn't get a third fucking season, even with Ultimate coming up. Oh, God. Let's talk about the voice cast, because this... my brain is just, like, ready to explode after all this. Because the story's just...
Sure, you wouldn't have if you, like... I realize it is a lot of stuff to explain.
It's really packed it.
They packed it real, real tough.
So the main cast consists of Josh Keaton as Spider-Man Peter Parker, Vanessa Marshall as Mary Jane Watson, Lacey Chabert as Gwen Stacy, James Arnold Taylor as Harry Osborn, Darren Norris as J. Jonah Jameson, Alan Ratchins as Norman Osborn. Oh, hey, it's Larry from Darman Greg. Anyway, Joshua Labar as Flash Thompson, Alana Ubach as Liz Allen, and Clancy Brown as George Stacy. In the recurring cast, Steve Bloom plays the Green Goblin. He plays a couple other roles as well. Kevin Michael Richardson plays Coach Smith. What I find really interesting is that Clancy Brown plays Ox. It's kind of cool.
He's also a Rhino.
Yeah, he's Rhino too. Oh boy. Overall, what did you think of the voice cast for the series?
Oh, absolutely phenomenal voice cast. You know, you know. I believe this had the same voice director as Young Justice, and it has quite a few of the same people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gotta say, Josh Keaton is my favorite Spider-Man. I just adore that interpretation. It's young, but it's not too young. He could probably play the college age.
Mm-hmm.
But it works just phenomenal for the high school. And let's see here, Darren Norris, even though he's really just doing basically an impression of, who played him in the movies?
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons, who is playing him in Ultimate Spider-Man. It's basically the same thing, but Darren Norris did a really good job with that. Yeah. I adore Stephen Blum as the Green Goblin. He is absolutely wonderful. Peter McNichol as Dr. Octopus is great because he's kind of timid and then he's really wicked and it's just lots of fun. Trisha Helfer as a very sexy black cat and Vanessa Marshall as a very sexy Mary Jane. And I really enjoy Lacey Chabert as Gwen Stacy.
Now the question is Trisha's voice for Black Cat sexier than Jennifer Hale in 94?
Ooh, that's a toss-up. That's a toss-up. That is a battle. That's definitely a battle of the sexy.
Yes. As far as the cancellation, essentially what happened was it was essentially put on hold because... let's see. The effect had on the Spectacular Spider-Man's future was unknown. At the time, president of Marvel Animation, Eric Rollman, further stated that no decisions have been made either way regarding the fate of the series. And of course, on April 13th, 2010, Marvel announced that a new series based on the Ultimate Spider-Man storyline would be aired on Disney XD April 1st, 2012. The same day, Greg Wiseman told IGN, "I've heard nothing directly from Marvel, but I think the Ultimate Spider-Man announcement makes it fairly clear that Spectacular is over." Marvel Animation and Sony also commented on this to Marvel Animation Age, confirming that the series has ceased production. You know, it's gotten, you know, really great reviews for the most part. You love it. I'm sure a lot of other people love it as well. You know, and for, you know, for a cartoon, especially a Spider-Man cartoon, to last more than one season, really, you know, because you look at the history of Spidey cartoons, at least from 94 to now, 94
last... That is a bit of an accomplishment. That's...
Well, right.
That's but... more than Unlimited and the new animated series got.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Spidey 94 lasted 5 years. Simply because I think it was on Fox. You know, Unlimited got one season. New TAS got one season. And this got two. Because this was the next one after the MTV Spidey. Who knows where Ultimate will go.
Yeah, it's planned for 52.
Just because it's planned for 52 doesn't mean it's going to get 52.
Gosh, I hope it doesn't, unless it gets way, way better.
Let's
talk... Now, I can't even consider it a Spider-Man cartoon. I can't.
I haven't seen it, so I can't really compare it. So, as far as comparisons, let's talk about how the show stacks up. Within the same franchise... I did list Ultimate, but since I haven't really seen it, I'm only counting this against the other three, or the other two. No, the other three. That's named incorrectly. Versus 94, New TAS and Ultimate, or not Ultimate, Unlimited. This one is okay. It's not the best, but it's not the worst. I still prefer 94. I would say that this is better than Unlimited. But one of the reasons why I liked Unlimited was because of, essentially, it's a continuation of 94 with a slightly different design as far as the costume. I'm sure eventually I'll be able to, you know, sit down and really watch this and analyze it for what it is, but I just can't get past that animation style. It's too goofy for me. I don't know. What about you?
I would say, without question, I loved Spider-Man 94. It's aged pretty well. Spectacular Spider-Man is the best Spider-Man cartoon ever made. Possibly the best that will ever be made. That is my opinion.
And let's talk about how it stacks up against shows in the same genre. I listed on here Iron Man 94, X-Men 92, X-Evolution, Wolverine and the X-Men, Batman and Superman and JLJLU. obviously it's not going to hold a candle to any of the DC stuff. It just isn't. It's just not a way.
I'm not going to say it doesn't hold a candle. Well, it doesn't. It's
a very, very flickered candle holding stuff to like BTAS and STAS and JLU. So,
in my preference, it goes Batman, JLU, Superman, Spectacular Spider-Man, as far as all animated superhero shows go.
I might even
put Spider-Man and Superman in a tie.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because Superman had a lot of really great episodes, but it also had
a lot of really bad episodes too.
Yeah. It had a very good consistency. And I enjoy it, and I think more people need to appreciate it more because it's easily the best Superman we're probably ever gonna get.
Yeah.
And it usually gets, overshadowed by Justice League and Batman, mostly for Batman.
Well.
There.
Yeah.
I like Justice League better. I like Justice League Unlimited better because I really enjoyed the stories. And I like how you may have inadvertently put JL and JLU in Superman in the same line.
No, I just didn't hear it. Damn it.
They are one story.
No, well, that's a debate for another day. I don't remember what this was going up against, so I didn't list the time slot stuff.
On Kids WB, it was airing with the Legion of Superheroes and the Batman. It was going up against Ninja Turtles 2003 on 4Kids. And I think that's about all the applicable, action cartoons.
Yeah, I would go for Turtles 03 before I go for this show. But that's just...
Oh, that's butcher for me, because I adore Turtles 03!
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would, my interest would grab it. Like, if I was watching this now, or if I was watching this back when it aired, I would change the channel and see Ninja Turtles 03 and be like, fuck that Spider-Man shit. I'm watching the Turtles. I don't know. I didn't even put anything down for previous, what show from a previous decade is this most like, because this is like the first Spider-Man show that has been unlike any other. I would maybe equate it to the 81 series a little bit. I don't know. Spidey and his amazing friends. I've never seen the 67 show, so I can't really count that.
I think it would probably be closest to the 67.
Okay. Okay.
Well, no. I think Spider-Man's in college in that.
Okay.
But just for use of the iconic characters.
Yes, yes. So we are the IGN crew, 0 to 4. Zero is don't ever watch this. One is watch it if you can find it. Two is it's worth a watch, if you have it on Netflix or whatever else. I'm probably going to give this a 3. It's worth watching because it is a different take on the Spider-Man universe. Now, when I first heard of this show, when I first heard the title Spectacular Spider-Man, I thought they were going to use, the Scarlet Spider suit at the time. Yeah. No, that's just what I thought. I didn't think that they were going to use the regular suit.
You just kind of called it Spectacular to just set it separately.
Right, yeah, yeah. What about you? What do you rate it?
4. Absolutely 4. I'm bummed that it didn't get a second season release, but if you track down those singles, and you should probably be able to get them for $7.
Yeah.
Absolutely worth it. If you like Spider-Man, if you like action cartoons, you need to own this show because you're probably never going to see it again on TV, and that is truly sad.
Yeah. As far as the when and where, As Sketch just said, the complete first season is on DVD. DVD Volume 5 was released in Region 1 on November 17, 2009. And the iTunes thing I mentioned earlier, it's so weird. Season 1 and 2 of the series are available to buy in the iTunes store in the UK, except Season 1, Episode 2. But only Season 1, except Episode 2, is available in the US version of the iTunes store. Both complete seasons are also available to buy from the PlayStation store in Europe, and to stream via Love Film. Ooh, that sounds like a horrible, horrible porn channel in the UK.
Why would they call it Love Film?
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. As far as the toy line and merchandise, Hasbro did release a toy line of the action figures in March 2008. McDonald's Happy Meals celebrated their 30th anniversary with the Spectacular Spider-Man toys in February of 2009, and then in February of 2010. Huh. What, huh?
Both McDonald's and Burger King.
Yep,
it's Burger not that King. Common.
No, not really. It's usually one franchise or the other. yeah, both McDonald's and Burger King had toys of it. So I think we are going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll come back to close the show.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
Then let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one'd be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How can we forget about the toys? We also do tour reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joe's, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Hey yo, this is Gear, and when I'm not helping out my pal Static, I have my backpack always playing Geekcast Radio Network.
Alright, so I'm going to give my final thoughts on this show first, since I know Sketch likes it more. So I am very open to watching the show. I will check it out more. It was on Netflix for a while, but then I guess the license got expired or something for Netflix, and it's no longer on Netflix.
Never put up season two.
Huh?
They never put up season two at all.
Well, the funny thing about the Netflix, when it was listed, when I first joined Netflix and it was on there, it was like volume one here and it was like five episodes. Volume two here, it was like five. It was like different volumes. I'm like, why aren't you guys just putting it as a complete series and listing season one, season two? And they never did. So I don't know. Overall, I'm interested to learn about or watch this very convoluted storyline. What are your final thoughts on Spectacular Spider-Man?
This show, more than any other Spider-Man series, is like a love letter to Stan Lee and Ditko.
It Even really more is. Than having Stan on the top of the building?
Sorry. Well, Stan showed up as a guy. At the beginning of the second season, Stan showed up as a worker on a dock, and he says, "You know, I hate when I stick my tongue against the boat and it gets stuck there. You know, I just wanted to say I hate that." And then Mysterio shows up, and he's all magnificent and freaky, and Stan's like, "Are we being punked? I hate that." Yeah. Yeah, so Stan Lee, he always finds his way into Spider-Man costumes. And God bless him.
Yes. So yeah, everyone should check it out just for the sake of, you know, saying that you were able to see it and, you know, make your own judgments on
it. It's not a big commitment. It's just 26 episodes. Oh. You might have trouble tracking them down, though.
Yes. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every episode post. You can also leave us direct voicemails over there. If you have a USB headset or microphone, leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Also follow at Geekcast Radio. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
Sketch1984.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing on in the season of superheroes with Green Lantern, the animated series. Finally, Bruce Timm gets to go back to his roots. Sort of.
Huh, funny. The Spider-Man in this plays Hal Jordan in that.
Yes, that's right. Josh Keaton for the win.
Josh Keaton for the win.
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Sketch 1984.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.